We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers
since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
With us today in studio, we have Sean Brown and David Settles. And how are both of y'all doing today?
Doing real good.
Great.
Now, the Martin Luther King Jr. Day March taking place.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little about that and the history behind it, because this has been going on for a long time now.
21 years. We started this 21 years ago. I went to MTSU, had an idea. You know, I grew up going to the march in Nashville, decided I felt that we should have a march here in Murfreesboro. We didn't need to drive to Nashville. And I got Murfreesboro Lodge number 12, Prince Hall Masons, to get behind me. I'm a member there. And they got behind me at the time. Mr. Goldie Wade was the NAACP chair. And he helped me. And hey, we walked down that street and it was 100. We counted 100, man. It was about 100 of them. It was funny. I told a story last night. Back then, we wasn't as organized as we are now. Back then, we didn't have the bands and the sign-ins and the QR codes we got on this flyer. Back then, I looked at Goldie. I said, Goldie, how many people you think out here? He said, oh, about 100. That's what we went with. We went with that number. But, you know, hey, it's grown over the years. I was talking to him out in the hallway before we came in. On a good day, when it's, 35 to 60 degrees. It's been 60 degrees. One year it was like 60 degrees. Right. That year we had about 600 people.
Really?
Yeah. You know, that's on a good day. Hey, when it's weather's right, you get between 4 to 6. When it's 20 degrees like last year, you might get about 250 to 3.
Right.
I like the cold years. I like years like right now what it is. I like it because, you know, that's the elements that Dr. King sacrifice the march for. So, you know, hey, I like the elements. Last year was a little nippy, a little colder than I like it, but how it is today, I love the people that brave the element and come out even when it's cold.
Yeah, I was looking right now, it's 25, but the wind chill makes it feel like 19, which is pretty cold, but it's going to warm up to around 37, it looks like.
Yeah, we start at noon. That's the difference between us and Nashville. Nashville starts at 9. We start at noon. Even the years when it's been like icy weather and stuff, like we had to cancel 2 years. But some of them years, it snowed, and because we start at noon, got away.
Yeah.
We could go on and move on. We don't make that decision till morning time around 9, 10 o'clock.
Now, over the years, the location as to, you know, where you walk has changed. Where do you start and where do you finish this year?
We always start at Central Manning School. We've been doing that since the beginning of our 21 years. 5 years ago, we changed the route. Once they named the street Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard, you know, we felt we should be walking down that street and we should, you know, have a longer march. So, hey, we examined it and everything. And so today we'll be going down Main Street, Lee Central Middle School, Madden School, go to Main Street. We'll turn on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, and then we'll turn on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and end up at Patterson. When we get to Patterson, we'll go inside, you know. So a lot of times over the years, we stayed outside and had an outside rally. Last year, for the first time, we went inside. Patterson opens their doors for us. They're closed. You know, they're closed for business today, but they open their doors for us for that hour, and we go in and have a rally there.
And how long of a walk is that?
It's about 2.5 miles.
Okay. And looking back over the years, when Martin Luther King Jr. would make a speech, they would lead marches through cities that I guess sometimes lasted as many as 5 miles in some cases.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if they set off meaning to do a 5-mile march, but it just happened that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You want to speak on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, and the other thing about it, when Dr. King was marching back in those days, everybody didn't start, but you would gather people as you went.
Yeah.
And, you know, we encourage that too. A lot of times when we're marching, we'll see people on their porches smiling and waving. And I used to tell them, hey, come on, you can go too.
Yeah.
And they'll come and join us. So it's a really, really good feeling. It's a good community feeling for everybody just to stop and acknowledge what he stood for and that we're still standing for today.
Now, in the 60s, the marches were not met as friendly as they are today. I mean, you're talking about some major issues, major problems, even some people being killed.
Absolutely. And he's talking about the weather, and he's right. But we got a lot easier, though. We don't have dogs chasing us or water hoses being turned on us in our marches for freedom and equality. Of course, we're marching for remembrance, but still, they really, you know, had to sacrifice. It was more than just a notion back then to get up and do something, because you really put your life on the line.
When you look back over history, you know, one thing that I think reminds all of us the need to remember Martin Luther King is the fact that America is a melting pot, and we have so many new citizens who live here, and then you have all the young persons who never experienced anything like Martin Luther King, and they don't know the lessons that were taught. They don't understand the sacrifices that were made, especially those who are new to the country who never were taught anything about Martin Luther King in school.
That's the importance of the march. And that's, you know, it's a whole lot of reasons to be marching, as he said, to remember, what he did, to honor Dr. King, but also, you know, to teach the kids. You know, we have to, you know, that's my joy when I look up and I see the kids with their banners and with their flags and with their things going down. You know, it's to teach them who Dr. King was, because if you don't teach them, they won't know.
Yeah, and I think the march is a good kind of springboard for that conversation to be had, because it's like you say, we've got kids that don't remember that Barack Obama was president or George Bush. You know, we do because we were there, but much less that what Dr. King stood for. So when they see the march and where they participate in the march, it's a good conversation starter to just educate them on why we're out here marching, because to them, well, we're going to get up here and march. What is the point? You know, but to educate them, and not just black kids, but white kids, Hispanic kids, every kid, everybody, to learn what it stands for, what it symbolizes, and, you know, why we're marching.
And with a different day in social media, I don't know if funny is the wrong word, but, you know, that's what we have to educate, because you see some flyers out. You'll see a flyer out, Dr. King part, and they'll have a picture of King out there with a necklace on his gold teeth, and someone like me or him will get on there, hey, man, take that down. That's not what he would want.
Right, that's true.
Because that's all they know. See, that's what they know. They don't know the history behind it, so it's up to us to teach them that.
You bring up an interesting fact, and that is social media and social media's role in history, and sometimes social media gets it way wrong because of fake videos, fake pictures, and that's something that we're going to see more of as time goes forward.
Social media rough, but I debate leaving every day.
AI is a monster. AI is a monster, and a lot of kids, of course, younger than us or in our group, but that's where they get their news. You know, we turned into Walter Cronkite every, you know, night or whatever to see what the news was about, if you're in Nashville, Channel 5, 4, or 2. But they go to social media, and the scary thing is they believe what they see, and what they see is not always connected to reality.
Definitely. And I got some sound bites here and depictions of King making statements that were false statements. Those are some of the things being spread on social media, and it looks like most of the social media networks out there have been active in banning some of those, which is a good thing. But I wanted to play this clip right here for those who don't understand how social media does play this negative role in society. And these are videos that were banned, and CBS News correspondent Michael Wallace reported on this one.
The videos have popped up all over TikTok and Instagram. OpenAI says users of its Sora 2 AI video app have been making what it calls disrespectful depictions of the civil rights activist.
I have a dream. Wait, no, I don't. Just kidding. You literally thought I had a dream. I do have one thing to say, though. 6'7".
The company is blocking the videos after MLK's youngest child, Bernice King, complained on behalf of his estate. Some of the videos have racist themes, with Dr. King stealing from a grocery store or speeding away from police. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
For anybody who's old enough to understand the realities of Dr. King and the sacrifices he made, his own life.
Wow, that's the first time I heard that.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. Or heard that clip.
It's that day we live in, man. That's social media, man. You know, I haven't even tackled away from that.
Yeah, but and it's interesting, but I'm glad to see that somebody's being vigilant about catching stuff like that. Absolutely. Because, like I said, you know, these kids watching, they don't know. No. They don't know truth from truth from fake. So it's good that there's people, and that's another thing that we have to fight for. When we talk about AI, is there's got to be some safeguards in place. That is part of our new fight, is making sure that we get the truth out there, and that there are safeguards and safe and rails in place to keep us more in line with the truth.
And it's an ongoing issue that really never stops, and I don't know that it ever will. I mean, we see this in all portions of history. I mean, it's everywhere that we're seeing people make things which are fake become slowly reality as people continue to watch or hear or read about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like I said, you know, that's why it's important to be hands-on. People like us, you know, spreading it down. You know, hey, if it wasn't for my uncles and people in the community, you know, telling me to go out and march, I might not have went out there. Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it, we bring it together. We have a program we have on the inside. Right. That program, hey, we use the young people. You know, this the young people that's performing in that program. The people that performing in that program are young people. You know, the guy that gives the speech is my nephew, actually, Deshaun Rogers. He's been doing it since eighth grade. He's a sophomore at MTSU now. You know, it started in the 21 years ago. It started with a young man named Kedrick House. He works at Redstone Bank now. Mm-hmm. But when he started, he was in eighth grade. He was the first person to get up there and give the speech. Got there and did it from eighth grade to about 11th grade. Then he passed it on to Donald Whitmore. Donald Whitmore did a great job for years, you know, just as a grown man. He took it to a different level. But then when he got ready to pass it to my nephew, you know, he weaned him in for a couple years, taught him some things, and my nephew's been doing it. So we have young people involved.
You know, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more interested I become in history to better understand things that maybe I only learned snippets about in school. Right. But as I get older, it is more interesting to go back and read and learn in depth different things that maybe I heard about or was taught about or just was interested in and never was taught about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true for me, too. I think when I was in school, well, I know when I went to college, I did a horrible job in history.
I did too.
But the older I get, the more it means to me, you know, because I guess the older you get, the more you see how history is affecting your today, you know, and so it makes it more relevant. So I think bringing our young people along, giving them a little bit here and a little bit there, but I think to make it stick or make it important to them, we show them the relevance of how it affects today. Yeah. And that's what piques the interest, and that's what helps us to not repeat some of the mistakes we've made in our past.
Sometimes it takes good and bad in order to better understand history.
Absolutely.
I remember when groups started coming together talking about removing statues, removing different emblems over time in different places, and I think that was the first time I started looking at, well, what does this statue even mean? What's the purpose of the statue, and why do they want it removed? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes those lessons to better understand really not only society, but historic facts.
And I say to people all the time, it's important what you just said about the statues and the things that went on in 2020 and the rallies. You know, I tell people all the time, in any movement you've seen, the young people, the people between 20 and 30 were the people that were doing the movement.
Yeah.
You know, the people my age, and I'm not that old, I'm 52. The people my age, his age, hey, we were just giving the knowledge out there and putting it out there. You know, Dr. King, hey, he didn't live past, you know, 33 or so.
Yeah, it was always that high school, college age group that pushed stuff.
Yeah.
But just like you mentioned about the statues and some of those being removed, and I remember when there was a big, huge, you know, huge movement toward that. And what was interesting is for years, I didn't know what some of these places even meant when they talk. Well, I'll just say Forest Hall on MTSU campus. And that got to be a big thing. And I didn't know, but I was educated when they were talking about removing it. But I think you're right. Sometimes we learn from the negative. No, we do. We learn from the negative as well as from the positive, what we want to do different. So it's not always about erasing history, but it's about understanding history and what lessons we learn and where you go from there.
And the kids today are different, too. Let me say this. When you talk about Forest Hall, we knew about it, and we tried.
Yeah.
We tried to get it removed back in 1992. We did. We were successful because we wasn't as vigilant as these young people today. The young people today are less scared. I don't know. That comes with downfalls, too. But they're less scared. And, you know, they come together. So when you saw some of the statue removing things this, you know, this era and some of the rallies, it was different colors, different races together. Mm-hmm. You know, my nephew, one of his best friends, different races, man. They don't, you know, they don't care about that. They bond over different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how they were able to come together and rally to get these movements going.
I'm just afraid if they do start to remove statues, well, that's going to remove that portion of that historic whatever it is altogether. If we start doing that, are we on a slippery slope where history is going to be forgotten and people are going to stop having these opportunities to teach about it? Because if it's not for that statue or that name, then parents have nothing to look at to say, this is what this represents, and this is what happened during that time period.
I think it's important, and it's incumbent upon us to give a balanced history and not just, you know, well, here's a statue. Because if you don't understand, because the statues and the monuments that were erected were often erected in honor of a certain person. I get that. But what the balanced history of it is, yeah, this is who that person was, but this is everything they stood for. And then we're able to judge that, because the other thing is, I believe in absolute right and absolute wrong. I believe there are absolutes.
Sure.
And just because a person stood for this or stood for that, I can judge it right or wrong. That's up to me to judge that and say, hey, this was not a right thing. I think civil rights is a right thing. I think everybody has the right to a good education, healthcare, housing, all of those things. Everybody has a right to that. But if we never knew it was opposed, then we're lulled into a thinking that, why are you complaining? You know, because everybody gets it. Well, no, there was a time when everybody didn't get it. If we don't understand the fact, and even when Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, a lot of people don't talk about the fact that he was there for a garbage man in the local city. It wasn't about black or white. This was about labor, you know, so a lot of people don't understand that Dr. King also stood up for the worker. So it wasn't just black people, you know, it was also for laborers. So it was civil rights across the board, but it oftentimes gets distilled into one little aspect, but it was more than that. So when we talk about the march, when we talk about the statue, when we talk about the monuments, then we can give a more complete history. Even when we talk about, because I think on, what highway is that, 65 up in Nashville, and they had that statue of, I don't know if it's General Lee or one of those guys, and there was a big issue about it, and they wanted to take it down and things like that. And I was like, maybe, but when you understand that it's not only just in honor of, but we can look at it and say, okay, this is what this person stood for. What do you think about it? It opens a conversation.
It does.
Because I want to know how you feel about certain things.
Mm-hmm. And I remember clearly what you're talking about. And I know that every time, if our family was in the car, we drove past that, it's one of those things that kids automatically look at.
Yeah.
And they're like, what is that?
Right.
What's the deal with that?
Yeah.
They went way left on that too. You know, some people went down there. You come here, young people are not scared of it.
Yeah.
They went down through there and spray painted that
thing.
They
did. Yeah.
And you know what people had to understand about that is that statue was moved there because that's private property.
Yeah.
Right. That, you know, nobody could get that moved because that was that man's.
That
property.
Was his property. Yeah, that's true.
It was interesting because it wasn't like in front of a courthouse.
Right.
It was not
just out there.
Yeah. It was different. But without those things, it's like we're taking away reminders of what lessons need to be taught.
Yes.
It's almost like there needs to be a better balance of remembering those in history. And it's really up to the cities all across the nation to put that balance into place.
Well, I agree. I think it's, I remember not too long ago when there was a movement, even in our history books, that when I was in school, 1,000 years ago, and we had social studies, which they called it for elementary, they taught us about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
They taught us, you know, that the blacks were brought here and enslaved and things like that. And recently there was a move, again, we're talking about removing stuff, to move that out of the history books and don't teach slavery. Well, put it in there because our nation didn't become who we are overnight. It's a mixture of everything we went through. We learned about the Trail of Tears. You know, we learned about Japanese internment. All of these things make up our history. We can't deny it and act like it didn't happen. The only way we become a better nation is if we face what we did and what where we were and make decisions to do better. Same way in our everyday lives. If we don't face up to the fact of the problems that we have, we don't get to be better. I think I'm a pretty great person, but every now and then my wife reminds me, you're not so great.
Yeah. When we stop talking about these things, when we stop adding them to the school books, that's when people start making up their own stories.
Absolutely.
And I remember this great big movement, if you would, where people wanted to announce that the Holocaust never existed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really grew. And the talks about it really grew. But it was because of that starter conversation, some group saying that it never happened.
Yeah.
That's what took those who are Holocaust survivors at the time, or who were, to come out and actually give speeches to talk about what occurred.
You know, he said something very important earlier about Cain, because again, you know, as I've gotten older, I've started to study the man and study a lot of stuff. And that's been my task the last 5 years. You know, initially it was just having to march and going with what I've heard and all this, but the last 5 years I've done deeper in study. And it's what he said earlier. You know, man, his people in his circle, and your circles are very important, but it was people in his circle that told him, hey, man, we don't need to go to Memphis. That has nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. They didn't want him to go.
Yeah.
He made that decision to go. He made that decision to go. But, hey, his circle was like, that has nothing to do with us. We don't need to go down there.
And that's very important. It's important because it gives a complete picture. You know, just not one-sided or just for one group, but civil rights for everybody. And I think, again, if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. You know, and I'm like you. I'm a kind of history buff now, because I see a lot of things that are going on even in our country today. And I think that we have to stand with our oppressed, because we've been oppressed. You know what I'm saying? So it's closer to my heart than maybe somebody else, but it can be close to anybody's heart when you read the history, when you know what it's all about. Like I say, workers' rights, labor rights, women's rights, immigrant, all of this stuff is important to our history, because this is how we got to be who we are. I'll say we're probably the greatest country on earth, but we still got room to grow and improve. I think even the best specimen of man will say, you know, I still got some room to grow. I still got some things I need to do. And you don't get better by not taking an honest look in the mirror and saying, this is who I'm. Michael Jackson, I'm looking at the man in the mirror, because we have to take an honest look at who we are in order to improve on where we are and do better.
I think it's important to continue to reintroduce different information and different things from history to the general population. And I feel like something happened last year that was pretty important to those details, and that is releasing of documents tied to the initial investigation into Martin Luther King Jr.'s death. And I think it's next year they're going to introduce even more, but those documents related to the 1968 assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which included FBI files and everything, was introduced. And I've got a sound bite of that, and then a second soundbite to follow up about what's to come.
It's of interest for historians cherry-picking A, B, and C, but generally nothing much has changed about the way we view the assassination, except looking carefully at how the manhunt for Ray took place and his eventual apprehension and then put in prison.
And that was presidential historian Douglas Brinkley. And then next year is going to be the year where they release even more documents on that.
We forget sometimes that Ray left Memphis after killing King and went to Canada. How did he get into Canada? He changed his name. He flew to Great Britain. And the manhunt really is what this tranche of documents release is all about.
I never knew that. I never knew that the suspect thereafter went all the way to Canada, then somehow to other areas of the world. I never knew any of that stuff until they started releasing this information last year.
Yeah, give us the information.
I think
it's important.
I
think it's important, but especially during that era of American history when things were happening, a lot of things weren't broadcast or told mm-hmm. or talked about. And that was the era that they grew up in or that things were happening. And so getting the information out now, I think it's important. I think it's been long overdue. If it comes out in the not that if it comes out in the right way, but if we do the right thing with the information,
yeah,
you know, because it is a learning, it is a growing. We're going on, this country is going on 250 years, you know, and that's pretty old. But we're not the oldest nation in the world, so
we got
a lot of secrets, you know, a lot of skeletons in the closet. Even when you think about the McCarthy era, and because that was during that time with King and everybody else, and he had all these kind of secret hit list of people he was going to investigate because this is who he felt, you know, were un-American people and things like that. And it's important, again, to get the information out there so that we know what we're dealing with and how, again, and I'm always going to go back to, how can we become a more perfect union? How can we do that? How can we be the beacon, the shining city on the hill that they talk about in the history books? How can we do those things except we examine ourselves very fully and truthfully, you know, and honestly, and say, you know, we got some warts and we got some bumps and bruises and we got to do better as a nation.
And with things like this being reintroduced, I guess, or introduced for the first time to America, it does make you wonder, should we write more about this in history books, the books that are being taught to children in school? And if so, with new information being released, it kind of brings up a whole new subject of, you know, what was taught incorrectly over the years, mm-hmm. and then how do we correct that? Because this tells me that the FBI probably made a whole lot of mistakes for the bad.
Yeah.
During that time frame.
Yeah. I think so. I think so. And especially in the era now that we're in, where people don't like to admit their mistakes, you know, and whatever we come out with, that is the truth. And then we just die defending it, even though it's wrong. That makes absolutely no sense. You know, even doctors, because before you can fully practice, you have to have an internship and you have to shadow and you have to, because it's a time to make mistakes. And then you grow from those mistakes and you become better and better. Doctors still practice medicine, you know, because you're trying to get better. And I think, tell the story, let us learn from the story, and let us improve on where we are. And I think that was one of the things we talk about Dr. King. One of the things he was able to do, Dr. King and Malcolm X, was to shine a light on America, hold the mirror up to America and show America, this is who we really are. And a lot of times, even like now, people are saying, oh, this is not who we are. Yeah, this is who we are. This is us. You know, a lot of things now are even coming to light in our society that we would rather, you know, sweep under the rug and act like it's not us. But we got to be honest, we got some really ugly stuff in America, and if we don't confront it, it doesn't get better, you know, it only gets worse. So even with the march today, it is making us look at where we are. How far are we into the dream, or how far are we away from the dream? Are we living out the dream, which is so important that we live out the dream, because it wasn't just a dream, a static dream, but it requires motion. It requires feet. You know, we're doing that symbolically today. We're putting our feet to the pavement to say we're marching in honor of the dream, and we're going to fulfill it, or we're going to do our best to make it be fulfilled.
And it's also action too. So, you know, we honor Dr. King by marching. We honor Dr. King by marching. But there's several other things going on, you know, as we get out here today. There's, you know, inside Patterson, the Alphas, Alpha Phi Alpha, they're having a blood drive. They're having a mm-hmm. blood drive. So, you know, you can give blood during these hours and give your service. There will be a voter registration table set up. Sister Florence Smith and some of the members of the NAACP,
yes, sir,
and Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Yeah. They will be out there with a voter registration table. These things are important because, you know, we can throw action into the day of celebration and get people registered to vote. you know, young people, you know, to come in and, you know, teach them the importance of voting and getting all these things. Because we have a ways to go. We have to get our people out to vote, you know, to change this world from where we at right now.
Yeah.
Again, with us in studio, we have Sean Brown and David Settles, and we're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and today there will be a walk that starts at Central Magnet School at 12 noon, and then the walk is going to end at Patterson Park Community Center, and I don't know, how long does that walk usually take?
Or
how
long? It takes about an hour. That's about an hour of, you know, in fact, you know, when we went down, we've actually only had the pleasure of going the new route once, because we started pursuing this new route 5 years ago, but a couple of them years it snowed, so we had to cancel. And then last year, you know, we went the shorter route because we do use that in case of cold weather. We go to shorter. So last year we went the shorter route because it was 20 degrees. So, you know, we timed it. It's funny, when I went to do that walk, when I went to do it, I went through there myself to see how long it was going to be. But yeah, that year we did it, it took about an hour, 45 minutes. We walked pretty fast, man.
You know, but you know what?
Sometimes we have to tell the truck to slow down.
Down. But it's cold, but you know, the longer you walk, the warmer it gets.
Yeah,
I'm just telling y'all, the warmer it gets. Don't let the cold weather stop you.
Yeah.
The coldest it is when we're in Central Magnet School parking lot drinking coffee and hot chocolate and eating donuts. Yeah, that's the coldest. Once you start walking, it gets warmer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for those listening who may be in a wheelchair, I would venture to guess, if you're able to come out, come out, because there's probably somebody who'd be more than willing to push you that route.
And it's what he said, and that's the beauty of the march. You know, even with the King Day, they march a long way and people would join in. And you know, when we, even the years we've done it, man, you know, people join in on different streets. If you couldn't go the whole way, hey, you find a street. When we changed to the new route, the 2.5 route, and we went the long way, some of the people that was against that said, hey, we don't want to go that far. Hey, they parked their car in different spots. I saw many people parked at Walgreens right there.
Yeah.
And they joined in. The beauty. You know, you get, as you go, you see people join in. It makes you smile when you see people join in.
Yeah.
People join in. And then you have some people that will go straight to Patterson and go on inside. You know, before you couldn't do that because we were outside, but now you can go straight to Patterson and just go on inside and be ready for the rally.
We're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back. Again, we're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and today's walk, which once more starts at 12 noon today. Right now, that time, 8:51. Stay with us. Again, we will be right back right after this short break.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle Right Tennessee.
This is Bud Rakes, former principal of Smyrna High School. I'm a resident of Adams Place, and I recommend that you come and visit us here at Adams Place. It's a great place to be. The people that work here, all of them are very nice, and I never have met one that was not. And, of course, I would encourage anyone, if they're looking for a place, to look at Adams Place, because they'll have a hard time beating it.
Adams Place, on Memorial, across from Walmart.
Hold on to your lids and labels, folks. It's the Recycled Minute. Rocky the Raccoon's got another tip that will make your trash habits unbeliterable.
Rocky's going metal today.
Here's Rocky.
Talking aluminum cans today. Aluminum cans are recycling royalty, folks. They can be back on the store shelves in as little as 60 days. Crush them to save space, and don't forget soup and veggie cans too. Good old vegetables. I'm Rocky the Raccoon for RecycleRightTN.com, and I'm out of here.
And that's today's Recycled Minute.
See ya.
Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRightTN.com.
Here's another good recycling song.
Let's go to RecycleRightTN.com. Yeah, RecycleRightTN.com. Learn what goes in and what stays gone. Keep it clean and carry on and recycle right.
two, plastic paper, cardboard two.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Talking this morning about the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. March begins at Central Magnet School here in Murfreesboro on East Main, and then we'll wrap up on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at Patterson Park Community Center. And in studio with us today, we have Sean Brown and David Settles talking about that march and the history behind it. And again, how long has the march in Murfreesboro been going on?
21st year.
21st year.
Goes fast, man. It don't seem like that.
We get old quick.
Yeah, 21 years. It added up quick, man. But yeah, it's been great. Again, it's been great to see it grow over the years. You know, it's been great to see it grow. But as I started, you know, in the beginning, you know, I kind of did a lot of this by myself. And, you know, the lodge, Murfreesboro Lodge number 12, had my back. And then, you know, we brought in McKinley Joyce. He gets us down the street. You know, he gets us down the street. He has a truck. They get us down and all that stuff. And then, you know, in the last 5 years, it was important. The former committee, it was important that I've told people from the beginning, the march was always going to get bigger than just one organization sponsoring. It was always going to get to where it's the city's march. And so, you know, it's a partnership with the city of Murfreesboro now. You see on the flyers, the city of Murfreesboro is on there too. It was always going to get to be that. And we formed a planning committee. It's 11 of us on that planning committee that, you know, start meeting in October and start ironing things out, ideas that we want to do to make this better.
You know, I mentioned earlier, the older I get, the more interested I become in history. And that even goes for, you know, if I see a house for sale, something in the back of my mind makes me wonder. You got to wonder the history of that house, all the families that have been in and out of that house, and then furniture in the house, the changes that have taken place over the years, and the way furniture looks or the way furniture is built. Mm-hmm. And one interesting piece of history that I believe is being released today is a chair in Dearborn, Michigan. I don't know if you've heard about this, but that chair, it's a chair that's going to be unveiled at the Henry Ford Museum of American Innovation. And here's a sound clip of how that chair is tied directly to Dr. King. And I found this kind of interesting because it's tied to voting rights as well.
What happened in that chair was Martin Luther King watched President Johnson make an announcement on TV from that chair in Selma, Alabama. And that announcement was that President Johnson was going to push for the Voting Rights Act.
And you hear stuff like that.
Wow.
And, you know, a chair is just a chair.
Yeah.
Until you know the story behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I remember I learned something a few years ago that I didn't know from the Dr. King, the I Had a Dream speech, or I Have a Dream speech, the March on Washington. And from listening to the speech, and every year when I, you know, it's MLK weekend, it's very emotional for me. And I wasn't born, but I was born right after. But I heard the speech in a different form or longer clip or whatever. And that was when he was really not going to do the part of the speech that he did at the March on Washington. But when you listen to the whole thing, you hear a voice in the back say, "Tell him about the dream, Martin." That's Mahalia Jackson. And Mahalia Jackson is telling him, skip all the stuff you're saying and tell them about the dream. That's when he launches into the section of that speech that we call I Have a Dream. That is the most memorable speech probably for anybody, at least in my era or in America, is that I Have a Dream. That section, it's a long speech. I've done it before when I was in high school. I've done it. But that section is the most memorable one, and it almost didn't get said. And that tells me that oftentimes, you know, being a man of faith, oftentimes we make preparations and we think this is what's going to do it and this is going to do it. And God has other plans. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like God rearranges things in a way that they need to be. we do the preparation we need to do. We make the choices we need to make, all the stuff that we're supposed to do. But we always need to leave room for God to come in and kind of direct it the way it needs to go, because this was the most impactful speech in America. And it changed the trajectory of the civil rights movement. And it really opened the eyes of the world to what was going on in America.
You know, that's an interesting point, because it makes me wonder, were these investigative files by the FBI released at this time because America needs it right now? And maybe we don't realize what's going to take place in 27, and there's a reason for it to be released then.
Wow, that I hadn't thought about that. Could be, because that is interesting that that's when it's coming out now.
Yeah.
Wow, we got a lot to do.
And we're already out of time. But when we post this as a podcast on our website, we'll post that I Have a Dream speech as well.
Sure.
For anybody who hasn't heard it, because I don't know that that speech is fully discussed in classrooms today. I have no clue.
Right.
I mean, I don't, all of my kids are over the age of 20, so none of them, I don't remember what they were taught, yeah. You know, and I don't know what's being taught today.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Well, not kind of true, that is true. It's a frightening truth. And it's what we've all been talking about this whole time is the retelling of history so that we learn, we grow, and we become a more perfect union. That's the whole thing.
Before our time is up, you know, I do want to say, to bring it on home, you know, it's a day of action, it's a day of, yes. Honor to Dr. King, a day of action, also a day of celebration. You know, us at the lodge, we've kind of like to make this thing a day of celebration.
So are y'all
like
gonna have fish
4th of July,
yeah,
Juneteenth? You know, we want it to be a day of celebration. So, you know, after the march, you know, there's several things going on, but we go back to the lodge and we have a fish fry, we have a DJ, and you know, we go and lay back and sit back. The thing about Dr. King that I want to say before we end, I know we run out of time, but Dr. King met people on different levels. You know,
yes.
He was able to speak to you in the pulpit, he was able to speak to you in the big on I Have a Dream on Washington. He was also able to speak to you in common places like the pool hall.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where at the lodge we look at it. We go back afterwards and go back to the lodge, and we have a pool table and we sit around and we play music and hey, just enjoy the day.
And you know, you mentioned that he was able to meet people at their level to make people better understand whatever was going on at the time,
mm-hmm.
right then.
Yeah.
And that's a talent that many of our leaders don't possess.
Yes.
Today.
When we, you know what, and it's like just that we're sitting around the table. We don't agree on everything, but if we can sit down at the table and share a meal or just talk about some things, it makes us realize the humanity in all of us. When we stop that, it's easy to put him in a different place and put you in a different place and put them in a different place. And we end up dehumanizing people. But we all have the same common goals, needs, aspirations, hopes, and dreams. And we realize that when we sit down at a table and just talk. Like you say, we're going to have a fish fry. And I hope I get my fish sandwich this year. And we're going to shoot some pool. We're just going to talk. We're going to relax and be people together, you know, just be citizens together.
It's about slowing down enough to take in whatever your neighbor's saying.
Absolutely.
And understand it and trying to understand it.
Yes.
Well, we are out of time. Thank you both for joining us.
Absolutely.